All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Woe to you, O Earth and Sea. For the devil sends the beast with wrath because he knows the time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast. For it is a human number. Its number is 66.
I left alone. My mind was blank. I needed time to think, to get the memories from my mind.
We'll just wait for Fantastic to get into position.
Stinks a little over here now.
Why? Because you tried to fart into the mic during the opening?
I did try to fart into the mic during the opening.
Good.
And it backfired.
It sticks in the foam.
It does. What do you got there, Fantastic?
This episode of Big Kev Eats Stuff is brought to you by Metrix Big 100 Chocolate Chip Cookie Dough.
Oh, why did we never get that one before? It was excellent, Fantastic.
Bravo.
Big Kev Eats Stuff.
Wow, that was good. I like that.
Yo, go right now and register that domain name.
It's just going to be audio files of you chewing?
That's it.
I'm not even joking. You really should go register that.
I was
just
joking.
Just link it back. I'm not joking.
Oh.
Somebody we don't like will get a hold of that, and that will be the end.
Unfreaking believable.
BigKevEatsStuff.com. Look for it soon. It could be all about,
you eating stuff
that I'll write reviews of restaurants. I'm serious, Fantastic. Go to wherever we get our domain names and get that.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 66.
Almost the Beast.
Almost the Beast. Very nice. I like that. It's clever.
See? And do you know why it's Almost the Beast, Fantastic?
No, I don't. Please tell
me. Because the number of the beast is 666.
It's true.
And we're at 6-6.
You remember Altered Beast, the Genesis packing game before Sonic the Hedgehog?
Awful.
I do, on the original Master console or whatever
awful.
The hell it was called.
No, on the Genesis.
Awful. It was in the Genesis.
Yeah, I thought it was on the terrible. Original console, too.
Well, you're mistaken.
Well, fuck
no,
you.
It may have been on it, but it wasn't the packing.
It was.
No, it wasn't the packing.
That was the worst game ever. Left to right scrolling game. Where you just punched and kicked. It was terrible.
The funniest thing is when you start out as like a thin guy in a loincloth and you get these orbs and you get stronger and you'd get, you know, basically pecs
yeah.
and giant arms. And then you turn into the animal and it would
the
beast.
Altered beast. And then you would scrap through things really quickly. That was the worst game ever made.
Well,
it did have nice backgrounds. You
know, at least they're not doing a new version of it or a sequel to it. Like, for example, I heard today from a good friend of the show that they're making another Rygar game. Do you remember Rygar?
There was a Rygar PS2 game.
Was there really?
Yeah, it was...
Was it any good?
It was mediocre to fair.
Wow.
It was fair under mediocre? I don't know. It was okay.
Know. It was all right. Okay. I want a new Strider game.
What's
we're going to do that kind
yeah.
of stuff. Give me Strider.
Strider was awesome.
The character of Strider's been in a couple of Capcom things.
Oh, sure.
But
do you know
I
that,
don't know of any
do you know that there's
games.
A Strider action figure?
I do know that.
There was.
It what
was,
series is it in?
He was in the Capcom versus Marvel figures,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, or the Marvel the or the SNK figures or one of those.
It's one of those, yeah. It was a great
Marvel
was,
versus Capcom.
Yeah, it was a really good figure, too. It was really
did they do all the figures in that line? Because there was like 50-some-odd characters
in
that game.
I think they did two waves. I think that was the end
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, they did a handful. And but they did do some good ones, though. They did some ones that were kind of...
Well, Strider was one that I was surprised that they did, considering the popularity of the other characters involved.
Yeah.
In that little franchise. But I was really happy because I was an addict, Strider addict in the late 80s.
Really?
Yeah, because they used to have it at the Pilgrim Diner over there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when we used to go over there like 2 or 3 times a week.
Uh-huh.
And I always get the pizza steak, which is kind of like an open sliced steak sandwich with gravy and cheese. It takes a while because I got to cook the steak. So I would always go out and play like $4 or $5 worth of
Strider.
I used to go with like 7-8 friends, and really spend like 8 minutes with them. I wouldn't even go so far as to order. After one point, I would just be like, you know what I want, go do it. I'm playing Strider. Let me know when the food comes. The food comes, I would run in there and eat as fast as I could, and then go out and play more Strider until they were ready to leave.
That's not very friendly of you.
No, but I was addicted to that game.
You're a dick, perhaps.
You're a dick. That I'll tell you, there are only two games that I've ever been really, really, really addicted to.
Was Master
like
Blaster the other one?
No, Master Blaster was
the Uncle Fester's game where you put your hands on the electric chair?
No, that was gay.
No, I'm kidding.
No, you know what it was, though?
Time Killer.
It was not Time Killer. It was Legend of Cage.
The side-scrolling ninja game where you jump in the air and use the sword?
Yeah, where you do. And what I liked about it was that it had the physics of bad kung fu movies.
Exactly.
That's what I loved about it. Like those 40-foot vertical jumps that you could do. Yeah. I love that game. Hey, fantastic. Is that available on any of these live or any of these best of?
Not to my knowledge right now. It eventually could end up on the Wii, but it's easily emulated, so you can always get it on an emulator.
What's that? What does that mean?
You download
what
is basically a software machine or emulator for your computer.
Okay.
And then you give it a dump of the game or ROM.
Uh-huh.
You may have heard these terms being bandied around. And then you play it. It's like you're playing it on the real
But you would be game. Playing it on your computer.
Well, yes. You'd be playing it on your computer, but you can stick in a gamepad and you can play with the gamepad.
Okay. But how can I get it on my Xbox?
You can mod your old Xbox and you can put it on there and play it on your TV.
There you go.
That's what I did at a couple weeks ago at your house. However the hell long when we went to go play paintball, we came back and I had all those games.
Oh yeah,
the Xbox.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember that. So you can mod my old Xbox to do that?
I don't know if I
I have the Halo Edition old Xbox.
No, I cannot mod any Xboxes.
That would be illegal.
But you know some slimy person like, say, Mr. Fabulous, who could probably do it?
No, he can't do it, but somebody in Chinatown can do it.
Somebody in Chinatown could do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know, but would that decrease the value of my special edition Halo original Xbox that I have?
It very well might, but
you know, no one cares that it's a special edition Halo Xbox.
I like it.
I'll tell you why I know. Because at E3, which was held in a couple of small hotel rooms practically this past week, so small that no one even knew it came and
really
went.
Weird, huh?
It was like, there was so much bit to do last year that they wanted to tone it back this year, and they toned it back so much it really was in like a couple of suites in like 3 different hotels or something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
But Microsoft announced a new Xbox 360. It was a Halo 3 edition, and when they announced it, it was announced like with this big oomph, and the crowd just was silent. It was just like no one gives a shit.
Really?
Yeah, just put the game out, as I think what people want.
No one gives a shit was kind of the entire theme for all companies
this
at E3 this year.
Yeah.
It was kind of a no-show everywhere, and whatever they did show was seen before or was expected. There were no really bombshells that I'm aware of or that I took as a bombshell.
Now, do you think that's because E3 was scaled down, that they didn't think that the impact of showing as much new and important stuff would really reach the masses? I mean, think about it. When E3 was what it was last year and years prior, right? People clung on to every little teeny bit of information. But with it scaled down this much and so few people coming to even review it, let alone see it, maybe they felt like they had better forms that they can make announcements, like San Diego, for example.
We didn't get our usual invite to E3, which I was surprised about.
Neither did I. Yeah, I think that's a large part of it, yeah. I think that's the biggest reason, but also it seems that it's like a trend in the industry for the game companies to sell the systems now and kind of sit back and play a wait-and-see game and do nothing. There's really not much exciting going on, even though it looks like there's a couple things you could be waiting for down the line. It's right. not like it used to be where every month or every week or when the internet actually got like interested in video games, when like there was the Tokyo game shows like around like Mortal Kombat 3 was coming out and right. things like that. And there were real controversial things like Mortal Kombat 2 for Super Nintendo was going to have blood, you know, and that was like a big deal. Thing, yeah. And you'd have to stay on the internet to be on the pulse of the industry. And now it's just kind of like there's so many people on it that nothing's a surprise anymore.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. What is it?
What's different about the Halo Xbox?
It's probably just looks pretty. It's just a skin, I'm sure.
It's Halo themed. It has some gold foil over where the CD, where the hard drive is.
Oh yeah,
the hard drive is the smaller of the hard drive, so it's not like it's. The
it's
elite.
Not even the elite version.
No, it's. I think it's a 20 gig version, which
really?
Is kind of a
smack in the
face.
They're not going to do like a full out version like the one I have, but Halo-ized.
No, it's that version with the hard drive. 20 gigabyte, not the new. There's one better than you have. I'm sorry to break that to you.
Oh,
now
there
it
is?
Came out like a couple months ago.
Yeah. Oh, the Elite.
It's the Xbox 360 Elite.
Oh, okay.
And it has that HDMI port, and it has
so the Halo one that's coming
is
basically the one I have, but it's all Haloized.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm gonna get it.
You're not missing much. It comes with
here's why I'm gonna get it.
A controller.
One, because I think that the Haloized stuff that they did with the original Xbox
right.
was really cool. Number one. Number two. Well, if I have one, I really should have the other one. And number three, it's because aren't they having all those problems with the Xbox 360s like that we were talking about last week?
They are, but I don't know that it's going to be corrected for that. I mean,
now, why would they put out another edition and not correct it? I figure that one's got to be corrected.
Because my guess would be they'd rather take the risk of putting it out and hoping that not as many break down and repair the ones that do later. Why develop a whole new system when you can hopefully...
Well,
because, again, if you're not playing...
Is it developing a new system, or did they just reconstituted the guts so that the problem doesn't happen?
I'm guessing they're not going to correct it. They're just going
to
skin it.
That's a huge deal for them to do. And although they do it incrementally, as the systems come out to like kind of prevent people from modding and to make it cheaper to make, and they're not doing anything for you, buddy. They want to sell you the old shit in a new bag, in a new case.
Well, I don't know. They might have me if it looks cool, because the last one I really liked a lot, and the controller I liked, too.
The last one was just green, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it looked cool.
It was green. It looked like slime.
Like it's been slime.
You look like slime. What else do you have in the news?
How about the rumor that Anthony Michael Hall, his big mystery role in the upcoming Batman film, is... not maybe going to be a sidekick to Harvey Dent, but perhaps he's going to be playing one Edward Nigma in the upcoming
bullshit.
Batman film.
No, I think that makes sense. I think he would be a good one in that universe.
I agree with you. And I think that if they just introduce him as Edward Nigma and leave it be, then it sets up the third film very nicely for Riddler.
All he has to
do is... Well, they're also setting it up very nicely for Two-Face.
Unless Two-Face bites it in the film.
I don't know. Hey, listen, I'm telling you right now, the rumor I heard is that this is not a one-villain film. That's what I keep hearing.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir?
Did you see Pirates of Silicon Valley? It's the story of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, Anthony Michael Hall is Bill Gates in that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's like all he has to do is play that character, and that could be the pre-absolutely crazy, you know, Riddler.
Yeah.
I think he's perfect for the role.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have a problem with him.
Did
in
Noah
the role.
Wiley
I
play Steve
nice,
Jobs
but...
in that? It was Noah Wiley. Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that.
So that's the newest Batman rumor.
I think we should stop to say that Noah Wiley, Dr. John Carter on ER.
I think we should stop to say no one gives a shit about ER anymore.
But speaking of something that you will give a shit about.
All right.
Forged in the fires of DC's
Hell.
Weekly 52 and the Batman Superman comic, a new series of Metal Men will be coming out from DC. It's an 8-issue limited series written and illustrated by Duncan Rolu.
All right.
And it's based on ideas and concepts created by Grant Morrison. So this is kind of stuff Grant Morrison is kicking around in these other books. And this guy, Duncan Rolu, is going to take those concepts and run with it. And I have to tell you, the preview art on the thing is really, really good.
Okay.
Now, I'm a huge fan of the Metal Men. I always have been. I have many of their first appearances. It's one of those comics that I actually buy old appearances of Metal Men and Doom Patrol. Those are my two kind of old DC kind of off-kilter, off-center books that I really enjoy, so I buy them, like old issues and stuff. And to see not only that the Metal Men are coming back, but they got this new slick-looking appearance. They got great art by Duncan Rolleux, and it's an 8-issue miniseries. They're coming back. I am really excited about this. I can't even tell you. August 2007 is the release. It's from DC. I'm recommending that everybody check this out. Everybody.
Right. Everybody.
Everybody.
Some scurry shit.
Scurry.
So, a faithful listener to Geek Stuff, Francis from England.
Ooh, from England.
From England. Wrote in to tell me that the Iron Fist movie, which we had been hearing like little bits and pieces of for a little bit now. I mean, that's not new. That apparently Danny Rand, a.k.a. Iron Fist, is going to be portrayed by none other than Ray Park.
Huh. This is really terribly old news.
That's old? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't hear that before.
Oh, yeah. Really
I didn't old. Know that.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. That's a good casting choice.
Well, if it happens, yeah. I mean, it's been shelved twice.
And he's been tied to the project the entire time?
Yep.
No.
Well, I mean, maybe they're moving. Maybe Francis has got some insight that they're moving ahead, but it's been kicking around for a while. So,
really? I didn't hear that.
Thanks, Francis. Francis.
Hey, look, you and your antics have already cost us one listener. Let's not lose any more,
Francis,
all right?
Francis, let me say this to you, my friend. We value our listeners overseas more than our American listeners.
Shut up, dude.
Let me just say that. We are spreading ourselves far and wide. You join the ranks of listeners like Matt from Automatic Comics, Adrian from action-figure.com, and Weatherman from Antarctica.
And Francis, if you really want to solidify your place in Geek Stuff fandom, we would highly appreciate perhaps you sending us a couple of samples of those Cards Inc. Harry Potter figures, you know, for the studio.
Yes, if you, exactly. If you would send us.
You like us.
And particularly if you were to send at least one Hermione figure from that line, that would be great.
Speaking of Hermione, you know how many additional hits we got to the site because of the description of that one episode that said, Hermione Granger.
Naked?
Nude. In the description.
Gotta love the porn bots. Sex tracker.
Porn bot. Transform.
Thinking of doing that every episode.
Really?
Why not?
Who do we have nude this episode?
I don't know.
Big Kev, nude.
I bet we'll get a lot of hits there.
Ew.
Ew and a half.
Maybe we can have Laura Vandervoot nude. Do you know who she is?
All right, I'll bite.
Who that?
She's going to be Supergirl on Smallville.
Okay.
She's hot.
What do I know her from?
You know, I went to her IMDb site.
I went
and
to her MySpace.
Scrolled through it, and she's done a whole lot of mostly nothing.
Oh.
A small handful of roles here and there. She actually has been on Smallville once or twice already, and and hot.
But nothing, nothing specific that we can point to.
Nothing
and say,
that's jumping out of my, jumping.
Well,
out of my
thankfully pants right we don't have to wait for your head. Fantastic. Could
what
you
is it?
Peruse the IMDb of what's her name?
Laura Vandervoort.
Laura Vandervoort.
Dervoort. I think I said Vandervoort before. It's Vandervoort.
While Fantastic is doing that, I will say that DC has released a little pamphlet.
Aw, pamphlet.
Called the DC Comics 30 Essential Graphic Novels.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's a list of graphic novels that are very popular. They're considered must-reads by anybody, everybody. Including New York Times, Entertainment Weekly, USA Today, CNN. Graphic novels, as we know, the fastest growing section in bookstores. And so DC wanted to put out this little pamphlet so that you could make some choices of your own.
Was this a freebie giveaway at your local comic book store?
Yes, you can check it out. It has really no real great surprises in here. Watchmen, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Volume 1 and 2, V for Vendetta, Sandman, Fables, a lot of the Batman better stories like Long Halloween, Dark Victory, Superman for All Seasons, The Dark Knight, well, The Dark Knight Returns, but then Ooh. The Dark Knight Strikes Again, which, okay, that one I don't get.
Yeah, no. So I gotta hope Retailer X put this in my FedEx box with my books this week.
Exactly. Kingdom Thanks. Come, Identity Crisis. It's a great list. They give you a nice little synopsis there, and you can make your own selections. That's from DC. It's a very nice little product from DC there.
Does this list take into account the kids sitting in the aisle with the Animanga haircuts that you can't even walk past when you're trying to get to the next to it?
No. Well, yes. Kamikaze Kaido Jenny or Jean is one of the books listed in here, as is Sword of the Dark Ones, which is also a part of their They have an imprint for their anime
for their
stuff,
anime stuff,
which
yeah, sure.
I don't remember at the moment what it is. CMX, that's it. CMX is their imprint for anime, and yes. Fantastic. They do list some of those in here as well as some of their Vertigo things. As I mentioned, Sandman, one of their Vertigo titles, as well as Harvey Pekar's The Quitter, Hellblazer, Why the Last Man. It's a nice wide coverage of all their products, and 30 of the best essential, they say, essential graphic novels.
Excellent. Fantastic.
Yeah, I got some info on your friend Vandervoet.
Okay. All right.
Looks like she started out in some kids' shows like Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Okay.
Those are good shows. Are You Afraid of the Dark was a good show.
I liked Are You Afraid of the Dark. I'm not
gonna lie. She also eventually moved on to 2007. It looks like she was mostly in a couple episodes of CSI.
Oh, there you go.
And then did some Smallville.
So she's gorgeous.
No film credits?
No.
Oh.
Well, that's okay. I mean, okay. She's sticking with TV roles
that's
for
fine.
Now, and we like that. That's,
speaking
that's
of
fine.
Sticking with,
oh wait,
it looks like Marvel is going to be sticking with Brian Bendis.
That's good.
Yeah, he's renewed his exclusive contract with Marvel, and he'll be working with them into the next decade.
Ooh, Dalali.
He's going to be continuing doing Avengers and Ultimate Spider-Man and some new projects as well.
How nice.
So, yeah, I guess Bendis is going to stick around and keep writing every other Marvel title.
There you go.
And some new stuff and an Icon book, which I guess that's the creator-owned stuff.
You know what? Maybe if Marvel just hired Bendis to write every Marvel title, then they'd get some sort of continuity going.
Shut up. You know there's no such thing as continuity.
Is it my turn now to bring something to the table, or sure. Are you still going?
And
bring away.
Begin.
All right. So Warner Brothers has put out an official synopsis for the Watchmen flick, which I am going to read for you quickly right now.
I'm terrified.
Don't Please, be terrified. Do it. Watchmen is set in an alternate 1985 America in which costume superheroes are part of the fabric of everyday society, and the Doomsday Clock, which charts the USA's tension with the Soviet Union, is permanently set at 5 minutes to midnight. When one of his former colleagues is murdered, the washed-up but no less determined masked vigilante Rorschach sets out to uncover a plot to kill and discredit all past and present superheroes. As he reconnects with his former crime-fighting Legion, a ragtag group of retired superheroes, only one of whom has true powers, Rorschach glimpses a wide-ranging and disturbing conspiracy with links to their shared past and catastrophic consequences for the future. Their mission is to watch over humanity, but who is watching the Watchmen?
Yeah, that about sums it up.
That's it.
Only one of them has superpowers? Who? Dr. Manhattan?
I guess, yeah.
Ozymandias? I thought Ozymandias had superpowers.
The guy could catch a bullet, right? I mean, that's pretty
super.
Well,
I guess that's... Yeah, I don't know. I guess.
I don't know.
There's no beating Dr. Manhattan, though. I don't even believe the ending.
Of the book?
Yeah, there's no beating him.
Of course there's no beating him.
He's Dr. Manhattan.
Of course. He just decides he's going to go make some people somewhere.
I mean, hello.
I like human beings. I think I'll go make some. Pop.
Seeing you.
And there it is.
Wildstorm.
Okay.
Studios has released a World of Warcraft sneak peek.
Is this a comic book that's coming
out? This is a comic book that's coming out. Little sketchy stuff.
Now, there's already been World of Warcraft books out, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. They're like manga-style books, though.
Well, I don't know. This is an ongoing book. It's going to be written by one Walter Simonson.
Really?
Yes.
Why is he tying himself to that? That seems odd.
An artist, Ludo Lullaby.
Well, there it is.
A French guy. The art is fantastic. I have to tell you.
I should like to see that.
I know you would. I have to tell you that I am, as we have discussed many times on the show, I cannot get into World of Warcraft. I just can't do it. Was it Warcraft 3 fantastic? Was that the one that went all one player-ish?
Oh,
Warcraft
what?
3? It went from being like an RTS to like more of a role-playing situation?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, I believe I'm right when I say that Warcraft 3, I was a huge fan of Warcraft and Warcraft 2. Warcraft 3 came out, I was very excited, and it just completely turned me off to the universe. Now, that being said, I still think StarCraft is an amazing game, and I'm going to play StarCraft 2. But World of Warcraft has since grown into the world's largest MMOPG.
MMORPG.
It's grown into the largest massive that's out there, and I cannot get into it. I cannot do it. And thus, I cannot get into the universe. I cannot get into the comic book. However, the art in that comic and the fact that Walt Simonson is writing it is very, very appealing.
Well, I'd like to say a couple things about this little preview real quick.
Yes.
First of all, the cover art of the preview is a Jim Lee piece, which is fantastic and looks beautiful.
Thank you.
And then you're welcome, Jim. And as I'm thumbing through it, I'm looking at some of the character designs.
Shh,
and
no one's supposed
to
know that Jim is in the studio.
Oh, I'm
He's
sorry.
Just sitting in.
Well, we needed somebody to work in the archive tonight. Anyway, so I'm looking through it, and I agree with you. The art is absolutely beautiful. And I'm saying to myself, it's very, very much like another book that I used to read and love that only was around for about four issues, maybe five, Battle Chasers by Joe Madureira. And then I come to And then I come to the interview portion with the artist Ludo Lullaby. And he says right in there that he is heavily influenced by one Joe, whose last name I cannot pronounce.
M.
Some of the characters are even vaguely reminiscent of Battle Chasers. And to be honest with you, I'm going to pick up issue one, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Walt Simonson, you can't go wrong.
Well, there is that.
And fantasy-based, you know, I like the concept behind World of Warcraft. I don't know that I can get into the mechanics of the game as far as an MMORPG goes.
I can't. I'm telling you, man, we have been ruined. We are victims.
I know.
You and I are victims of Sony Online.
I know.
We're victims.
I know. Well, actually, and we're victims of Lucas Entertainment.
We are.
Speaking of which, we may continue to be victims of Lucas Entertainment because I've recently read as early as this afternoon that, and this is, again, speculation and rumor, although it is apparently confirmed, that Shia LaBeouf, Sam Witwicky, and Harrison Ford have actually signed contracts for not one, but three Indiana Jones films.
I don't believe it.
I'm not saying I do or do not.
I think it's a terrible rumor. Indian Sun movies are just. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, the jokes online were abound today about Indiana Jones and the search for his prune juice, or Indiana Jones and the Last Depends, something along those lines. By the sixth,
really.
Film. So
wow, I love the internet, don't you? Fantastic.
So I you know,
really lets these comedians shine.
Ooh, hey, it lets us shine. So shut up and don't knock it. Anyway, I think it's a vicious rumor, and I don't believe it. Either.
I meant message boards.
Oh right.
I'd like to pop back and touch on that us being victimized.
You pop it
because I'm getting emails.
Oh yeah.
I'm getting emails and phone calls
from who?
from people we used to play Galaxies with.
Yeah, and what are they playing now?
Galaxies.
Oh, yeah, it's going back, apparently?
Couple of people went back, and they said, you know, they're doing some things. To which I responded, they would have to do an awful lot of things. And our friend, Frenchie.
Oh, really?
And I had a lengthy discussion on July the 4th. And Frenchie says to me, you would not believe they are putting the things back that we used. They're doing it very slowly, but you get in the things. And once I translated that, what I got out of it was, it looks like they're slowly trying to slide back toward a little bit further in that direction. That being said, it's still nine professions going in, or whatever it is.
There are a couple stipulations that I would need in order to get back into that game.
Okay.
One of which is that no matter how slowly they choose to do it, they need to revert back to the old game engine. Because I don't think any new engine that they've developed is going to be good. Unless they figure out a really healthy balance between the old and the new that'll maybe appeal to both sides, I'll give a little leeway there. So there's that. They've got to re-strengthen the creature handler.
Okay, that's happening now.
Okay, good. So that's good.
Right.
And I need to be able to play Basil. I'm not starting from scratch.
Okay, that's also apparently...
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, here's what I hear. No character...
Has ever been
deleted...
Off the servers.
...from their servers or databases. So you can apparently still get Basil back. Like, I could get Soup E DiGiorno back.
See, because I was talking to somebody who used to play with us, although not very often, but used to play with us on occasion. And I guess he had some sort of trial where you can go back in and play for free for a couple days.
Yeah.
And he went back in and he was able to access his old character, which he was pretty excited about.
Right.
Except that his old character appears on the screen wearing nothing but, you know, that wife beater and shorts.
Uh-huh.
And he went to his inventory screen and he still had a bunch of his equipment, some of his basic clothing, not even armor, just basic clothing. And when he went to go put on a pair of pants, it told him that he did not have enough experience points to wear those pants. That's a problem.
They might have been altered pants. Like they might have been. All right. Look, I'm not going to sit
here
and defend it.
Stretches, I think.
Here's what I'm going to do.
What are you going to do?
You and I are going to San Diego Comic-Con next week.
We are.
I'm going to take the 2 weeks that follow San Diego.
Okay.
I'm going to leave those shows to you and Fantastic.
Okay.
And I'm going to walk the earth.
Okay.
I'm going to walk the earth while I consider the possibility of taking another stab at Star Wars Galaxies.
I think you need to fire it up.
This is my plan.
I think what we need to do is we need to work our mojo at San Diego and see about getting ourselves a small trial.
I think
a review on the show.
Well, look, I think I really need to walk the earth.
You walk.
This is a momentous decision. You know what happened last time.
I do.
And I don't want it to happen again. So I'm going to consider it very carefully. I will check in with you guys from my travels, and I will let you know where my heart and my head are about this decision.
Well, I think that you should meditate on it, perhaps take some narcotics or drink some narcotics that'll help you envision what the game could be or will be, and then you'll report back.
I don't know. I think that's the plan. And then from there, I will decide whether to take another stab at it after that point.
A lot of walking and deciding.
Fantastic something?
No, man. I got nothing after that.
I know. It's pretty momentous. I've said I would never go back, and now I'm gonna take some time off, and I'm going to consider it.
Well, while you're considering going back or not going back, I think we should consider taking a break.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
But it's only been like 10 minutes.
Psych.
All right. We'll be right back.
Give me a sign. Hello out there. Everyone in Geekland, yeah, that's you. I mean you. This is Daddy Fantastic. That's right. You know, Mr. Fantastic's father. I know you didn't think he had any relatives, but he does. I've been thinking the only way Mr. Fantastic is ever going to get out of that basement of mine is if this show really takes off. Yeah, he lives in the basement. We let him out to do the show, but I want him out of there permanently. So what Mrs. Fantastic and I need you to do is visit the iTunes store and subscribe to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. That's Big Kev's Geek. Yeah, you know what I mean. Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You do that by typing Geek Stuff. I know that's a little strange, but it's Geek Stuff, into the search field. And then you hit some keys, and before you can say David Copperfield, you're there. It's unbelievable. It's just something really that's fantastic. Yeah, that's right. Daddy Fantastic. Also, don't forget to visit the website on the internets. The address is big. It's very big, this address. It's just so long to get it out. It's Big Kegs. What's the guy's name? Would you please tell me? What's his name? Big Kev. That's it. I knew it. BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can't miss it. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. It's not time to make one more thing. I messed up before. If you would like to hear more Big Kev's Geek Stuff, email eric.logan at xmradio.com. Don't forget.
I died so many years ago. You can make me feel like it isn't so.
Hello, this is James Masters.
And you're what? Shocked and disappointed? I'm evil.
From Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Help me out here, Spark. I don't speak, loser.
The coolest stuff around.
And you can't tell the ones you love, you know they couldn't deal. Whisper in the dead man.
Funniest thing I've ever heard.
My Big Kev Eats Stuff.
I'm telling you, by the time you have heard this, that site is already registered and I already have ideas for what to do with it.
Better than Big Kev's Greek Stuff?
Yeah, I don't care about that one. That's that's kind of dumb.
Made me laugh.
Yeah, I know. But
I'm a big jerk.
Feature well, like yes. Souvlaki. And
yeah, that's it.
Souvlaki dressed up like Dr. Doom.
Yeah, check this out. I'm looking
sex.
At yo, look. I'm looking at retrocrush.buzznet.com.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's another one of the famous top 10 lists that we're so fond of.
Okay.
And it's the top 10 greatest supervillain costumes of all time.
Supervillain
costumes.
Ooh, all
right.
Yeah,
this
I want to run
it
by
all
you.
Right.
And,
all right.
Unfortunately, I can't turn this to show you.
That's okay.
But I know that you know these characters.
Okay.
So number 10 is yes. Catwoman.
As the best costume.
Now,
this
which
is number 10.
Which version?
Okay. Now, that's just it. So you'll notice this is not a picture of one of the Catwoman costumes. It's more of a collage or montage of all of them.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. Now, I only
bookmark
think
that.
Really that there's one. I think there's only one costume, maybe, that would qualify perhaps for this list.
The current one.
With the big goggles and
yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of badass looking, that costume.
That's this one where they
yeah.
have her on her knees right
yeah,
here,
yeah.
right? Right
yeah,
in the middle?
Yeah.
That's right.
Because like
her.
The Jim Ballant Catwoman when they reintroduced her in the
which
90s.
She's purple with long
all
hair.
All purple. That was kind of
like
silly. And
they show that one here too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no.
They're all represented there.
The new one is
yeah,
nice
the new
though.
One.
The new one's
okay.
kind of an S&M one. That looks good. Number 9.
Okay,
is
number 9.
Ming the Merciless.
Really?
Ming the Merciless.
Okay. Which looks like is a pretty cheesy costume to me. I mean, any costume that is primarily
well,
based around
do they
a cape,
say
I don't know.
Do they say where which Ming the Merciless costume that they're talking about there? Because, quite frankly, the Ming costumes from the movie were pretty badass.
Were pretty badass, yeah.
It says, even his live-action incarnations in the movie serial and campy 80s version with Max von Sydow were pretty damn cool. It doesn't show one. It only shows one, but
so
it doesn't actually talk about all of them.
They're saying broad-based.
Encompassing.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's how
okay.
they treat all of these. So
that's,
number
that's interesting.
We have number
okay.
8 is Black Manta.
Black Manta.
See,
the,
I
the
think
the gayest
that's a,
costume ever.
I think that's the stupidest costume.
It's a
ever.
Black wetsuit with a fishbowl on his head.
No,
practically,
but it's bigger than a fishbowl. It's like two fishbowls fused in the middle with eyes on top.
Do you remember his
it?
Voice in the cartoon?
It's terrible.
It was all mechanical. It was like, I am Black Manta.
Oh,
it's really
they,
terrible.
They do have a YouTube video embedded right in here. We can include the link and
oh, do
the
oh yeah, let's
can listen
yeah
to
let's
that.
Include the
yeah,
link.
That's terrible. That one, boo.
So number 7 we have is Poison Ivy.
She basically just wearing like a swimsuit of lettuce.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, some like Jim Lee's version of that costume was hot, but that's Jim Lee.
I don't know.
I mean, it depends on who's in the suit, I guess. And if it's life, it was Uma Thurman, right? Was it Uma Thurman?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to...
Really, don't ever bring that up again.
Before I can decide whether or not I agree with Poison Ivy being on this list, I'm going to have to see what else is on here, because I'm not convinced so far about Poison Ivy.
To be honest, there's really only one that I really want to get to, and I think the other ones are a load of garbage.
All right, well, let's okay. keep it going here.
Six is Dark Phoenix.
Okay. No, see, that one's okay.
And I mean, this is, I don't know if you can see this. This is the one that they show here.
Yeah.
It's the red outfit with the... Yeah, exactly.
That's
with
the
gold
Dark Phoenix costume.
Yeah, It's kind of generic. It's all right. Okay. I mean, you know.
Number five and my personal favorite is the Riddler. And in this one, they show it's the live action.
The Frank Gorshin
Batman,
Riddler.
Frank Gorshin Riddler.
Oh, God.
And just his face. That is a great costume to put that guy in. That is hilarious.
He is. Yes, but you know, there have been many, many incarnations of the Riddler's costume, and they're all basically the same. Green with big question marks.
I personally like, and if this one were on there, I'd agree a lot more, Marilyn Manson Riddler.
That's true.
The Batman cartoon.
But that, you know what? You have to take that as an entire character design, and they're talking simply about just costumes here.
But are they? Because really, Dark Phoenix, I think that's kind of character-driven, too, because Dark Phoenix...
All right, now remove the head and the hands and just
the costume sucks.
See, I don't agree. I think that's a good costume.
Speaking of head and hands, number four is Galactus.
Okay, that's pretty badass. It's menacing.
No, see...
It's purple, but it's menacing.
Yeah, now you and I are going to depart here because it's not purple. It's blue and pink.
They describe it here as
purple
and plum.
Yeah, purple and plum. It's not fucking purple and plum.
His helmet is purple.
It is pink, sir.
It is purple.
It is a deep pink. Pinkish purple. I'll give you pinkish purple.
How does he move with those giant antenna-like things in the side of his head?
He don't have to move. He's Galactus, sir.
He still moves.
No, he's the world eater. He doesn't have to move.
Exactly. He's the world devourer. Number three... And this one they actually show by showing a sideshow statue, which I believe you have in the corner.
We happen to have right here in the
yes.
studio.
And this is the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sure. this is standard old-fashioned Green Goblin with a purple, what do you call that hat? I don't know. It's like a wizard's hat.
We call it a hat.
It's kind of like a nightcap.
A stocking
almost.
Cap.
Stocking
yeah.
cap, yeah.
It's yeah, I mean, that's a great.
Yeah,
that's a great
good
costume. Yeah,
that deserves to be on there.
Yeah, all I agree with that one.
So after all, what I would consider garbage, I think the next two are pretty strong.
Okay.
Number two, you'll be very interested and happy to hear, is none other than the Joker's sidekick, Harley Quinn,
who also the piece they show actually also is a statue that is featured here in the studio as well.
That's one of my favorite pieces in my personal collection. That statue,
her laying
I
on
love
the cards.
That statue, yeah,
yeah, that's a good one.
That's
yeah, I agree with that. I mean,
costume
that's,
too.
That's kind of a great, a really great, really stark costume that they have really just capitalized on the whole matching her with a Harlequin,
right.
if you will. And yeah, I totally agree with that. What number was that?
That's number two.
If number one is not,
all right. Well,
I don't know what is it.
Why don't you relax? Oh, you know what? You know what?
Yeah.
And I'm going to agree with number one.
Okay, what is it?
He can see number one. You want to go ahead and announce number
no,
one?
No, you go ahead.
All
fantastic.
Right. Number one is Dr. Doom.
Okay, thank God. I was going to say, if number one is not Dr. Doom, then this list is utter horseshit. I mean, mostly it's utter horseshit anyway. But Dr. Doom definitely is probably got one of the best badass villain costumes out there.
Totally. I mean, it's just, it's armor, it's a gun on his hip, and it's a green cape. And he is
that mask,
menacing looking.
Yeah, I mean.
They actually show what Fantastic is looking at right now is showing me right now is that they show the sideshow piece, the throne
one where he's
piece.
Sitting in the throne?
Oh. Absolutely menacing. Why on earth I didn't get that piece?
Great,
I don't know.
Awesome encapsulation of that character.
Every time you see Doom seated on some sort of throne, it's just
chill.
He's just awesome. Happen to have the Dr. Doom full size bust right here in the studio as well because of exactly that. It's an absolutely menacing, disturbing villain costume. He is just Yeah, I mean, yeah, I got to agree with that one. And the Harley Quinn is number two. I got to agree with that one, too. All right, so overall, I have to say, not a bad list.
No,
there's... couple of little weird things. Yeah. I thought Ming was a weird choice, but they made a good case for it. I mean, it is kind of rocking.
Yes.
I don't know that I agree with the Riddler, necessarily.
No.
I
don't agree with Cat of Phoenix, I don't think.
Right.
And Poison Ivy either, really, to be honest with you.
Right.
I mean, to be Venom would have been better, even though it's very simple. It's definitely kind of
imposing
with the claws.
I have to say, though, that Venom...
is that character-driven?
I gotta say, that's a creature.
But it's a costume.
Well, I don't
because
know.
It's because it technically is a costume, because Eddie Brock and... but
look,
I don't know, I mean...
in defense of Poison Ivy, hot redhead Harley wearing anything...
Yeah, I mean, look...
can't
go wrong. I'm not knocking it, I'm just saying.
So... is there any that you and I
is
there any
character.
That you and I are that we think should have been on the list that aren't on the list?
Well, I don't know.
And while you think about that, let me throw it out to the listeners. If you think that there is a super villain costume that was not on the list that should have been on this top 10 list of super villain costumes, go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and drop us an email and let us know what you think should be on the list.
I think Magneto should be on there.
Yeah, that's a good costume.
Yeah. He should be on there.
Yeah, his costume's been pretty consistent, except that awful Big M costume from around 200, issue 200 of Uncanny X-Men. I didn't like that one so much, but Magneto's a good choice. Fantastic. Do you have one?
This is outside the lines, but he's a villain nonetheless, and I would consider him a super guy, except in his younger years. But I think Darth Vader is a pretty good costume.
And you know what? Technically, they could have squeezed him on the list because, I mean, God only knows he's appeared in about a billion comic books. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, as far as villains go, he's up there really with Doom. I mean, as far as armored villains go, I think.
I recognize it's outside the lines, but I think it's a strong one.
Well, I mean, if they're going to include Ming, you certainly can include Vader.
Why, sure. Thank you.
I think that would be totally acceptable.
I concur. Well, that was a fun little list. I don't necessarily agree with all of it, but definitely worth taking a look at.
Well,
definitely right up our alley. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
No,
guess,
go ahead.
No, I guess I don't get to do one.
I thought you were too busy doing Big Kev Eat Stuff.
I guess you and Fantastic get to contribute.
Go ahead, contribute, honey. Go ahead.
Honey. I really don't have one.
All right.
Just trying to think of what
tell
I think
us about
it.
The costume, Harry. Go ahead.
I'm looking around. I'm like, what is there's got to be a villain.
You don't
want to
put the Joker in there?
No, I don't. I don't think I would put the Joker in there.
Okay.
Because, I mean, not to say it's not a great costume. I think it is. But, I mean, it's been varied so much. What are you going to take? Like the standard Mego purple suit and orange spats and, you know, like, oh, you know, there's so many variations on it. It's like putting the Riddler in there.
Right.
You know what I mean? I didn't agree with the Riddler based on that.
What about Kronos? Could have thrown Kronos in there, no?
Who's Kronos?
From Hellboy?
Kronos?
Isn't Kronos the guy in black with the mask and the...
No, Cronin.
Oh, Cronin. I'm sorry. I thought it was Kronos.
Cronin's pretty good. But that's kind of, it's like a Nazi uniform with a weirdo mask.
Okay, so Nazi uniform? Very menacing.
Well, there you go. Why didn't I think of that?
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, villains, I'll take the entire Stormtrooper, Clone Trooper design element, and I'll stick that in there.
There you go.
Well, that kind of picks off of Fantastic's Vader a little bit, so I don't think I can do that one.
No.
I don't know.
No, you got to go for something else.
I don't know who I would pick.
I'll tell you who's not a menacing character that I know.
Who?
That guy.
Oh, we'll get to
we'll
him.
We'll get there.
Next segment. Oh, I know who I'll say. I'll say the Condiment King. Oh. What?
I'm going to have to ask you to leave soon.
All right. We'll be right back. Oh, God. Another spot?
Oh.
I'm tired of doing these. Why don't we let Fantastic do this one?
Go ahead, Fantastic. It's all you.
I get to do this one?
All you, baby.
All right, here we go. Super Hollywood style.
You want comic books? We got comic books. Come to Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
That's it?
I need some more info.
They have games They have toys.
Visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com.
Is that the
URL? Why don't you look it up?
Where?
You're at the computer. Why don't you look it up?
Give me something else to say.
The URL, the phone number.
The phone number?
Yeah.
973. What's the phone number?
Pull the fucking page up!
973-857-9788. And for those of you still living in 1988, you can send them a fax at 973-857-2009.
You can't put that in a commercial?
Well, what if they want to fax
their
order?
You're insulting them! They're a sponsor of the show! You can't insult them and say that their technology's outdated!
Wait, I'm gonna read this list that's here.
Okay, go ahead.
Comics, collectibles, collectible card games, tabletop games, toys, action figures, manga.
Yo, you gotta respond at least.
What am I supposed to say? This is our fault. We are to blame for this. We let him do this. Why don't you write a script? You know, a script.
I'm Buddhist. I don't believe in scripts.
What the hell am I going to make out of that mess?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you for a moment. If you're in the New Jersey area and you'd like to purchase comics, collectibles, card games, toys, action figures, manga, or other geek paraphernalia, visit Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Give them a call at 973-857-9788 or visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. When she walks, she's like a samba that's...
Yo, what's going on? It's Aaron McGruder, the creator of the Boondocks. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Holla at your man Kev. Later.
Devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside. Devil inside, devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside.
I can't believe it. You've never heard of the Condiment King. Fantastic.
Sorry.
I think Shredder should have been on that list.
That's a good
the
one.
The Condiment King. Shredder. Do you remember the Condiment King? He made an appearance in the Batman animated series and they actually brought him over into the comics for real.
He's got the claws.
Condiment King. He fought with like mustard and ketchup and in the comic, the cartoon
almighty
rather.
Hot sauce.
I think he squoze hot sauce in someone's mouth. And
he's got a cape?
No, in the cartoon he had like a pickle head.
Metal
like a little
helmet.
Pickle hat.
Okay, so people in the Chop Shop, I want a Condiment King figure by the end of August.
Chop Shop, you say?
All right, let's get to what we're talking about this segment, Kev.
Okay.
What we got here?
We have Elseworlds Series 4 from the Fantastic DC Direct people.
We certainly do.
So Series 4 contains 6 characters.
All right.
What do you got over there?
I have 3 figures, 2 different characters, mostly. I'll start with the Dark Side Superman, good.
Okay.
When he is transported to Earth from his adopted home world of Apocalypse by Isaiah, Kal-El confronts his true destiny, and chooses to become a creator rather than a destroyer.
Okay.
It's a nice looking figure. I mean, I guess it's a nice play on Superman as far as changing it around a little bit. I don't really know the story that well, so you know, I don't have much to say about it. It kind of reminds me though of Tony Stark minus the mustache and some shiny armor.
He still looks really angry.
I
think the
he looks all right.
I think the basic premise of the story is that baby Superman lands on Apocalypse, which is run by...
Darkseid.
Darkseid.
Thank you, fantastic. And is raised there, I guess. You have another one there that's from that same book, right?
I do. The Dark Side Superman Dark. After landing on the planet Apocalypse instead of Earth, Kal-El is raised to be a merciless soldier, becoming Darkseid's ultimate weapon in the war with New Genesis. I kind of like this figure. I mean, it's the same basic design, but the Superman chest plate is a little bit different. The helmet is reminiscent of Ultron a little bit, but it still kind of looks badass, Black Knight style. And on the interchangeable head that comes with it for Kal-El, he's got the glowing red eyes, which is kind of nice. So
yeah, so it seems that our assessment, at least about the book, is accurate.
Now, Kev, before we go any further into this here, are these based on a particular artist's rendition? Do you know, or are these just generic from the series?
Well, they seem to be reminiscent of the artwork that appeared in that book as I remember it.
All right.
But I cannot tell you the name of the artist off the top of my head. Perhaps Fantastic. Could you look up, please, the Dark Side Superman and see who the artist was on that book?
That's Dark, D-A-R-K, space Side, S-I-D-E, not D-A-R-K-S-E-I-D. Who do you have over there, Kev?
I have Wonder Woman.
Alrighty then.
From the book Amazonia.
Okay.
At the turn of the century, England is ruled by a man rumored to be Jack the Ripper. Raised on London's streets to become a circus performer, Diana Trevor must break society's bonds placed on women to stop him. So you kind of have this really cool sort of turn-of-the-century looking Wonder Woman, which is a really great design. Again, I'm not really familiar with the book. A lot of these Elseworld books kind of come and go, and you want to pick them up and read them, and eventually you do. And
right.
I think figures like these and like the Darkseid Supermans inspire people to go and pick up these books. For example, I want to read this book now.
Okay.
So I want to find out all about this character and this story, and I was inspired to do so by this figure. Fantastic, of course, we'll look up Amazonia as well to let us know who the artist and writer was on that book. It's a great figure. I mean, she really is well done. Yeah, I'm very excited about her. Fantastic something?
Superman the Dark Side is written by John Francis Moore and has art by Kieran Dwyer and Hilary Barta.
Okay.
Well, I don't know personally. Then.
And what about Amazonia?
Amazonia, story written by William Messner Loebs and illustrated by Phil Winslade.
Okay, so okay, there it is.
You don't know these dudes?
Not personally, and I'm not too familiar with their work. But I'll tell you, again, I want to read this Amazonia book because that looks really interesting. I also have here, I have Batman from The Liberty Files, which was a JSA book.
Right.
And he is awesome looking.
Yeah, he is pretty cool looking.
As an agent of the U.S. military in the 1940s, Bruce Wayne is willing to sacrifice anything to protect the world from nuclear winter, even his own humanity.
I know that the time period is much later than Gotham by Gaslight.
Yes.
But it is vaguely reminiscent of that figure.
It is.
But I like it. The character design is really impressive. So,
you know, I want to say, I'm going to hold off on my what I want to say about JSA Liberty Files, which I happen to really enjoy. I have read this one.
Okay.
I want to hold off. Fantastic. What can you tell us about JSA The Liberty Files?
So it looks like The Liberty Files is actually a two-issue miniseries collected into one volume, called The Liberty File from 99 and 2000, and then The Unholy Three in 2003, rather.
Yeah, okay. So there you go.
Writers are Dan Jolly and Tony Harris, and the artists were Tony Harris and Ray Snyder.
So Tony Harris we know from Starman.
Right.
Tony Harris is the guy who brought Starman back to DC, and then he did this great book, JSA The Liberty Files, which this Batman is from.
I have here the Flash from JSA, The Liberty Files.
While
operating undercover in Russia under the codename Mercury, Jay Garrick is called to action by Batman to stop the rampaging rogue agent Superman. His mission, recover the serum that can stop Superman before it's too late. It's kind of a very classic, like, first appearance Flash kind of costume, and as far as the hat goes. Jay Garrick, Mercury, the Flash, kind of looks a little to me like Raul Julia.
Really? Because he looks a little to me like Tony Stark.
See, I think the I think one of those Superman figures looks a little bit more like Tony Stark personally. But yeah, no, I can see the Tony Stark with the thin mustache also.
I'll tell you who else he looks like. Howard Hughes.
Okay, I can see that too.
So
there you go. But it's a nice looking figure. Like I said, it's very similar to that first appearance Flash costume design that you've seen before, you know, with his helmet and whatnot. And, you know, the book looks interesting. You know. Yep. There's one more in this line, isn't there, though?
Oh, there is, and he's by far the most exciting.
The piece de resistance.
The piece de resistance. The Kingdom Come Blue Beetle.
Wowzer. He is pretty,
He
sir.
Is fantastic. And the flavor text reads, in the apocalyptic battle that will change the course of human and metahuman history forever, the Blue Beetle stands with Batman to stop Superman from waging a war that could spell disaster for generations to come.
You know, I notice reading these little descriptions and whatnot here that a lot of these DC Elseworld book pit Batman versus Superman.
It's always been that way. They always they butt heads even in the regular continuity.
That's crazy.
They even have their own book, Batman Superman.
I know, but they're fighting for the greater good.
Let's talk about Blue Beetle.
Let's.
Of course, the number one thing that we have to talk about, DC Direct coming to bat again by continuing to use the Kingdom Come packaging from the original Kingdom Come series.
And it is pretty.
It is pretty. And bravo to them for doing that, because these display very nicely in this packaging.
Sure.
I think they display as well in the packaging as they would if I were to open it up.
So there you go.
Blue Beetle, translucent blue wings. He's got the Blue Beetle armor looking look from the series Kingdom Come. Fantastic. You recently read Kingdom Come.
I did.
Did you enjoy the Blue Beetle's participation?
You know, this is what I'm telling you about. I don't even recall it.
I knew you would say that. That's why I asked you.
I know.
Well, it wasn't excessively prominent from what I remember. He was there, but it wasn't.
Sure.
He didn't have any groundbreaking, earth-shattering roles in the battle of Batman versus everyone else.
Superman I agree.
Versus everyone else.
I agree. And this stunning figure can now be added to your Kingdom Come collection.
Collection.
I am jacked about this. I love these Kingdom Come toys.
Excellent. I love them too. They're really nice. They're so, one of the few lines I really want to collect still.
Elseworlds Series 4. I'd say overall a great line. More interesting characters from some of these books that take place outside of the regular continuity. I'm going to reread JSA The Liberty Files. I'm going to find Amazonia, and I'm going to check that one out as well.
And speaking of menacing-looking figures.
Or not at all.
What do you got over there, Kev?
Tonner character figures? Is that what it is now? Tonner Inc.
DC Stars.
Have sent us Aquaman.
He is a... Well, this is the first male now in the DC Stars line.
This is the first male in the DC Stars line.
Previous figures including Wonder Woman, Supergirl, and Mira.
Right, Mira, his wife.
Right.
And this is Aquaman in the typical...
Vintage.
The vintage, thank you. The vintage orange and green costume that we're all familiar with. And he comes with the rubber gloves, which fit on over his hands.
Nice.
And, of course, the real hair, the articulation. He's a fabulous, fabulous piece.
You know, we love him. We love Tonner. Really, though, to be honest with you, I think the most important part of the Aquaman figure is that when displayed properly, he will ride Storm.
That's true. He will ride the Storm centerpiece
that we talked about previously,
which is Aquaman's seahorse.
Giant 4-foot tall
Right.
Pink and purple
seahorse. And he'd have to be that big because this figure is humongous.
18 what inches.
Is it 18 inches?
I believe it's somewhere between 16 and 18.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, between 16 and 18 inches. It's a great new male hero body that they're using. And he's fully articulated. You can display him any way you like. I personally, what I would like to see, I'll be honest with you. I would like to see somebody take one of these, put a beard on him.
Grow his hair out a little?
Grow the hair out. I don't know, because the hair is
kind of long already?
The hair is kind of, yeah, it's kind of, it's. I'm removing the protective netting from the hair.
Serious in the front, party in the back, maybe design it a little differently?
No. Not that far. But, I mean, look.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Really, you have to give him a beard, lop a hand off.
That's it.
And stick a hook on him.
And not even the hook. Not even the hook, sir.
Just cut the
hand
off?
Harpoon.
Oh, the harpoon?
When they first did and they just jammed the harpoon in the stump and wrapped it up. That image of him crouched like that on a doll like this would be spectacular. I would love to see some. I'm not doing it with mine, but I would love it if somebody out there was to kit bash one of these into a just a hardcore stump ladled Aquaman.
Nice.
That would be awesome. But this is an incredible figure. Again,
sure is.
Rubber gloves, the classic costume done in detail right down to the metal symbol on the belt.
Very nice.
Area. Another just stunning piece. If this is the kind of quality that we're going to expect from the rest of these DC figures, I can't wait to start seeing some of these other guys that we keep hearing that we can't talk about, but that are coming down the pipe.
Tonner Inc. doesn't seem to let up.
Does not.
They haven't failed us yet. So
there was a lot of controversy about this figure too. People were like, "Oh, this, oh, that." I don't see what the problem is.
I don't know either, but
I think it's a great piece. I think it's a great first outing, and when you pair him with the Storm, which if you are a fan and you weren't fortunate enough to get, of course, you're going to have to. Well, what we should play right here is the
eBay alert. eBay alert. eBay alert.
Right, the eBay alert, and you might want to check out eBay and see if you can pick one up that way. I got to tell you this, you better be a big Aquaman fan if you're looking for one of these, because not only were these limited to, what were they? It was only a couple hundred, 200 maybe, 300?
Something like that.
Not only are they super, super limited, but I don't know anyone that's letting go of any of these.
Hey, you know.
So you never know. But the point is, if you're a big Aquaman fan, you're going to want the Storm Seahorse. You're going to want the Aquaman. And you're going to want that Mira also. And check online for her as well.
And again, as far as Tana goes, a very important piece for them because it is the, I believe it is the first male sculpt in this. Well, not first male sculpt, but first male sculpt for this style figure that we've that we're going to come to see probably throughout the rest of the DC Stars line and maybe some of these other lines.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very exciting. It's a great first piece for Tonner, at least in the male portion of this whole superhero thing. And I'm dying to see.
See.
I'm telling you, man. I want to see.
I know.
You know, some of them characters we keep being told about, talk about, but we got.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
All right.
Let's take a break.
Let us take a break, and we'll come back with the wrap-up.
Ooh, yay.
Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots. But they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow. With
why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when it's updated and when the website is.
You have an opinion.
It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Inhislikeness.com.
Hey, this is John Wesley Shipp, The Flash, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 66, Almost the Beast.
That's right.
All right.
You were having trouble with it earlier.
I was.
What did we talk about today?
We talked about Anthony Michael Hall, rumored to be the Riddler, and Laura Vandervoort is going to be Supergirl on Smallville.
Hottie.
Hottie.
We also talked about the return of the Metal Men, great DC group. From way back when, returning August 2007 in an 8-issue limited series written and illustrated by Duncan Relieu, based on ideas created and concepts created by Grant Morrison. I'm very, very excited about that.
Warner Brothers has officially released a synopsis for the film Watchmen, and Harrison Ford and Shia LaBeouf have not officially, or may have not officially, signed a 3-picture deal for Indiana Jones.
DC Comics has officially released a pamphlet entitled DC Comics 30 Essential Graphic Novels, a brief synopsis of 30 graphic novels that are published by DC that they would like you to check out, and they include no really big surprises at all. But
except for Dark Knight Strikes Back.
Well, yeah, that was kind of a surprise.
Apparently, it was news to me and Francis in England, but not to Big Kev. Ray Park will be playing the role of Danny Rand, a.k.a. Iron Fist, in the upcoming Iron Fist film for Marvel.
Probably not big news to anybody. Brian Bendis has renewed his exclusive contract with Marvel.
Okay.
So he can continue to be a douchebag and write every other Marvel title for the near future.
Douche. There you go. Douche. I got nothing else. So.
Well, maybe you should stop cutting off Fantastic. Who had something?
You son of a... Dr. Doom was the number one greatest supervillain costume of all time, and you can see the other 9 at retrocrush.buzznet.com.
Good choice for number one.
But before we got to that segment...
Before we did get to that segment.
We also talked about the World of Warcraft comic book coming from Wildstorm Studios, written by Walt Simonson and illustrated by Ludo Lullaby. I just can't get into the game. The comic looks great, however, so maybe I will give your issue a try that you buy.
There you go. And we also talked about DC Direct's Elseworlds Series 4 this evening, consisting of 6 figures in total. The 3 figures I discussed would be JSA Liberty Files, The Flash, and Superman Darkseid, Good Superman, and Darkseid Superman.
Right. I discussed Amazonia Wonder Woman, JSA The Liberty Files Batman, and the stellar Kingdom Come Blue Beetle, featuring the original Kingdom Come packaging that we have come to discuss and enjoy on multiple occasions. Bravo, George Brewer.
And Tonner has released its first official mail in the DC Stars line. It would be Aquaman. That complements your Storm and Mira pieces very nicely. Very exciting for Tonner and their future as far as the DC Stars mails figures go. And a nice piece overall. Tonner continuing to impress us here.
And that's it. That's all we talked about. Can I just say this?
Sure.
That's a full shot of Vitamin Geek.
That is a full shot of Vitamin Geek. And you can check us out online at www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com or myspace.com/bigkevsgeekstuff. Don't forget, if you subscribe to us in iTunes, leave us a review. If you don't subscribe to us in iTunes, subscribe to us, goddammit.
And then leave a review.
Right.
We still doing that YouTube thing?
Yeah, kind of sporadically. YouTube has been giving me some problems, so
We, I should say that after I walk the earth, there's gonna be some new segments, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, having to do with YouTube. But I don't want to. I don't want to give away any more of it than that.
Well, next week's episode will feature myself, OG, and the fantastic one, Sans B. Kev, as he heads out to San Diego, and then I will be heading out the following day.
I will be calling in from San Diego.
You will be calling in to tell us about the oodles of people that you're meeting on the sales floor. We remember your riveting interview call in last year.
That was at the end of San Diego. I was tired. This will be, I'll be fresh and young and new. I'll be like a virgin.
Don't forget to check out Big Kev Eats Stuff. We'll catch you next week.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Just call me Lucifer.